Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to the Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. This week, we welcome back our very dear friend, Anthony Frieda. Anthony hasn't been on the show for a while, but he's coming on today, and we're going to try to dissect this coronavirus issue. What's the truth? What are lies? Is the hysteria and police state reaction justified? Well, stay tuned and listen to this important interview. Anthony Frieda, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Hey, Cindy, great to be here.
I know. It's been too long since we've chatted, so it's really wonderful to have you back on.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. I took a break from all the, as we were saying, toxic environment of political discourse these days. It was taking a toll on me personally and spiritually, I guess, and I just had to, you know, kind of recharge my batteries and find myself again.
Well, that's I think essential. I think one of the reasons you asked me before we started the interview, you don't know how I keep on the front lines. It's that in 2006 I almost died, and so I learned how to balance. I learned how to put some balance in my life, and you know, you can't ever live your life in complete balance. But you know, if you live your life so far out of balance for a long time, it will take a toll on you. So I just try to always check in with myself and see, like, is this too much? I got to cut back. I got to add more of this and that, you know. It's like this recipe for staying sane in this world. And you know, everything changed when my grandchildren were born, because there's nothing I would rather do than spend time with them. But then I also know that I have to keep fighting for them to have any hope for any kind of future.
Yeah, well, that's a true expression of love. I mean, because you know you have to do it for them. It's almost a moral imperative. It's your biological imperative to protect your children and your grandchildren. And it's instinctual, but it's also, I think it's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the purpose of why we're here in the first place. But, you know, one of the great benefits of this whole sheltering in place, whatever the hell that means. I mean, I don't know who writes this stuff. You know, it's like you can't just say stay at home,
right.
Shelter in place. But, you know, I'm spending more time with my family. Like my wife and I did and my son, we did a big jigsaw puzzle. So that's fun, and we're, you know, trying to connect more rather than just being on social media and in the matrix, you know?
Right. We've been doing a lot of board games, and we're going to have a movie night and stuff. But so sheltering in place, now California has been ordered to stay at home. So now we have a stay at home order, unless you have to run errands or you can still go out and exercise. But so they're not saying sheltering in place, but there's also a concern that soon the whole country will be on lockdown for at least 2 weeks.
Well, this is madness. I mean, in my view, and I know I'm usually have controversial views and contrarian views about everything, but there's a great article on Off Guardian, which everybody needs to read. The ISS report, 99% of COVID-19 deaths had pre-existing serious illnesses.
Yes, I read that one too.
It really puts things in perspective that they don't even know if these people who are being contributed to dying from coronavirus actually died from coronavirus because they have comorbidity and they have serious other issues like heart disease, cancer, and emphysema.
Right, right. And the thing is also 99.2% had pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
And over 50% of them had three or more conditions, you know? And so, like you said, they could have just died from that illness or those illnesses. And it just is it's just like getting blown all out of proportion.
No, it's completely disproportionate response and it's irreconcilable with the facts. So when something, it's obviously not about public health. We know they don't give a damn about our public health. We know that. So if it's not about public health, then it's about politics. And I'm not about to figure out exactly what their agenda is, but I know it's accomplishing a lot of a multitude of agendas seem to be falling into place. And this is the pretext for all of them. And isn't it interesting how this market crash now takes the blame away from any potential blame away from the big bankers? They can blame it on, they have a scapegoat for everything now.
Right.
All of their failures have a scapegoat. And I mean, listen, I'm pretty sure now we're finding out that a lot of these senators were shorting the market and they were dumping their stuff.
Including one of my senators, Dianne Feinstein, I have to just say.
Yeah, she's a real beauty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love when they're worth like $100 million and they've been in public service their whole life. You know, I mean, I'm sure that's all above board.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi is worth almost $200 million.
They all need to be in prison. And if we let them get away with this one, then, you know, we're really just slaves and fools. And they don't give a damn about our public health. They're owned by Big Pharma. There's an unholy alliance between Big Pharma, Big Tech, and Big Media, and the government. And we cannot believe a word they say when it comes to public health, when it comes to drugs, when it comes to vaccines. The CDC is a vaccine company. I mean, RFK Jr. has done a lot of great work in this regard, and Del Bigtree, and the CDC has dozens of vaccine patents.
Right.
They're a vaccine company.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's conflict of interest. 70% of CNN's advertising revenue is paid for by Big Pharma. I mean, how could they possibly objectively report on that that industry? I mean, does anybody really think they could be objective about it? Well, actually, a lot of people do, which is bizarre to you and me, but they just believe every word they hear.
Well, look at today. Well, it was actually yesterday by U.S. calendar, but today by Iraqi calendar. So that was 17 years ago, the United States invaded Iraq. Talk about a disproportionate response to something. The U.S. invades Iraq and Afghanistan for 9/11. And, you know, most people that I know like are 100% on board with the idea that Iraq was based on lies. Some people, not everybody believes that Afghanistan was. I don't even understand that because Afghanistan didn't attack us on 9/11. And a lot of people don't believe the official story about 9/11 anyway. But then all of a sudden this happens and a lot of people are really buying into this propaganda.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I'm just always looking for the false pretext, and I don't trust any of them. So that's just instinctual for me. But then, sometimes they're a broken clock. Sometimes they do get things right. But this, like I say, when the response is so disproportionate and it doesn't make sense, then there's something else afoot here. And we don't know exactly what it is, but we do know that they're using this as an excuse to clamp down on alternative media.
Mm-hmm.
They as a pretext to start to promote the idea of forced vaccinations. They're talking about even further diminishing our rights when it comes to all of our civil liberties. And they're using this as a pretext for all of it. Just like they did with terrorism. Now this is bioterrorism.
Mm-hmm.
it's the same old song and dance that we heard on 9/11, except they're even up in the game. They want complete control, and this is not only a control over the economy, which I think this whole thing was a designed implosion of the economy, just like, you know, Building 7 and 9/11 was a designed implosion of that building.
Well, it's one of their bubbles where they, you know, it's expanded as far as it can go, right? And it has to crash or pop, and then, you know, we get popped all over, and they reap the benefits of it and get richer and richer and richer. It's all of these bubble things. And so when Obama saved the economy in 08, all he did was just pump up more money into Wall Street and the banks to bail them out, which, you know, obviously didn't have the desired maybe that had the desired effect for them, but they always talk about this economy and Wall Street like it has anything to do with our economy.
No, well, they're destroying our economy. And yeah, this is gonna be about the bigs getting even more bailouts. They're talking about $1 trillion a day now to the big banks that they want to give, and it's having no effect on the market. So that's just, I mean, that's kind of scary. I mean, this thing is so massive. The ramifications of it economically are really hard to, it gives you a headache when you start to think about it. I mean, I've suffered it personally already, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse for everybody. I mean, my wife's business, she has a business, she works in New York City, and the governor and the mayor are saying that it's not an essential business. So you're out of luck. You know, they just say, you know, you say you can't work, that's it, it's over.
That's right, yeah. Where's our bailout?
You know? Yeah, decades of work into a business could be destroyed overnight by the decree of one of these tyrants, and it's disgraceful, and like I say, the evidence does not support this draconian response, in my opinion, and I'm really trying to be objective about it and see every side of it. The flu is kills. I mean, so many people every year, and there's no panic, there's no shutdowns, there's nothing. It's just disproportionate. And the amount of people that are going to die from this response, in my opinion, is much greater. I mean, during the Depression, 7 million people died from malnutrition. Right now, only 50% of Americans only have $1,000 in savings. That means they're living paycheck to paycheck. That means you take away the job in a couple of weeks, they're in a lot of trouble.
Exactly. You know, and we're seeing this happening already. And so, like you said, it's bad enough as it is. All of the bars are closed in California, which, you know, I don't ever go to a bar, but that's not my point. My point is, like, there's a lot of people out of work. All the restaurants, if restaurants are open, they're only doing takeout or delivery. So all of the people who do live paycheck to paycheck, who barely scrape by, are the ones that are being most affected by this manufacturer crisis. I know a lot of people. I don't know one person that's sick.
Doesn't even have a cold.
They don't even have colds, let alone. This flu.
This might be the biggest hoax in the history of the world. I know that's
And what are we supposed to believe, that they don't have any tests, or people are testing positive for it? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't say that we don't have any tests, but then people are starting to test positive for it. So,
and there's also a lot of false positives on those tests. So we can't even trust the test.
You know what our county told us to do? And I think, Anthony, this might be the crux of the situation, because I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I research vaccines. And, you know, like you said, sometimes even a stop clock is right twice a day. And I've worn my seatbelt since before it was a law to wear a seatbelt, because it made sense to me. If I cut myself on a rusty nail, I'm going to get a tetanus shot. But the thing is that our county told us, go and get your flu shot. And then if you get sick, we can rule out the flu, and it's probably corona. And so what I think it is a lot of people are starting to reject the seasonal flu shot because they've seen in the past where they've gotten it and still gotten the flu. And or they're starting to learn that it's based on last year's virus and shouldn't even
They have to
have
get what's right.
any like effect. And so I look at people who get flu shots, and I'm sorry if anybody's listening to this get flu shots. It's what you're doing to yourself is you're destroying your natural immunity.
Yeah, you're injecting a live flu virus into your body needlessly, and it's the strain from last year, like you said. So it has no chance of being effective. It's madness. It's a racket. And also, here's another thing I read, that getting the flu shot makes you more susceptible to coronavirus. So
It makes you more
that.
susceptible because there's something called virus. Oh my God, I wish I could remember exactly the term. It's almost like virus combat or whatever. Is that if you like use something to block one virus, it just invites other viruses to come in. And I can't remember exactly what
No,
that
I
term is.
read that too. I read that too. Well, this is a very interesting virus, and I don't know if you've read about what Dr. Francis Boyle, he's the man who wrote the 1972 Bioweapons Convention. He says that this is an engineered bioweapon, that it has gain of function. That's why it's not affecting children. That's why, and that's why it has a different rate of spreading than the traditional flu, and it has these gain of function. Like, the average flu could only be spread 3 feet away. This can be spread 6 feet away from another person, and the average flu doesn't last as long on surfaces as this does. There's these gain of functions to spread it more rapidly through a population have been engineered into this organism, this virus. And I mean, you got to get him on the show. This guy's brilliant. He wrote, I mean, so he's the expert in the field.
I
He's
think
100%
I've
convinced that
had him
it's
on
a
my
bioweapon.
show before, but not for this issue.
Oh, really?
I
Well, yeah,
think
if you
I
can get
had him
back.
on once for he was exposing he had exposed the babies in the incubators for Iraqi soldiers were throwing babies out of it. So what is that? Not human rights, but the other organization that's just a fraud. I can't think of anything, but I've had it on my show before, I'm pretty sure.
Well, if you can get
It's
him
been
his
11,
number,
12 years. So,
if you got his number, he's the man. I
well,
mean,
another
he is
thing is
all over.
about this virus is that it's mostly affecting men and mostly affecting Asian men. So that just shows another thing that has been engineered. But if they're going to engineer a virus, you would think they would make it more lethal, because like
Well, here's okay.
most
This
people
is
are
what.
recovering from it.
Yeah, this is no. This is okay. Now we're going to get into some, speculative territory here, Sam.
Okay.
So, be warned. I can't prove this, but a lot of people think that this is a beta test because they know this is not deadly at all. They want to test a weapon that's not very lethal on the population, to see our reaction, to get all their systems in place, to get the lockdown, dissent, to shut down alternative media, to get a complete stranglehold on the narrative, and to, like I said, get their entire apparatus of control in place. The next one that will be released, this is not going to be the last we hear of this insanity. There will be another one released that will be much more deadly. Whoever is going to release it for whatever their purposes are, it's probably already inoculated against it. That's going to be the big one, and that's going to be total clampdown on civilization, bring in a technocracy, submit, and we go into neo-serfdom.
And are you just speculating this, or is it something you've been reading from other people or been
There's a
chatting
lot
about
of
with other
people saying
people?
that. There's a lot of people saying it, and
Well, maybe
so there's a
9/11 was a beta test, because look at everything that we submitted to after 9/11, all of the stringent restrictions on, our movement and free speech and stuff like that. And so they're just seeing how we will like comply with what are we going to do if they lock the whole country down? And you know, they're putting what I am hearing, and these are from like reliable sources, but again, it's just speculation. It's not anything that you know is I can prove 100% until it happens. Is that you know, as soon as they get the National Guard and you know other police state in place, they're going to put us on complete lockdown for at least 2 weeks. And so, what are we going to do when that happens? You know, are we going to actually go out and get shot? You know, because that's a real issue.
How committed are you to this? How are you going to enforce
Yeah.
this? Because this is a test. Like I say, I really believe the whole thing is a test of the entire surveillance panopticon, the entire police state grid. They want to see how much they have in play, how much control they have over us. They're also flexing their muscle. You know, listen, we got uppity, right? We got our own media. We have our own ideas. It's okay for them to speculate. And I watch the mainstream news. They speculate all the time. You know, when there's a crime, what is the first thing the detective does? He speculates about, because that's how you come to an idea of maybe, figuring out what happened, who done it. You know, if you read a detective novel, it always starts with the speculation. There's nothing wrong with speculating, as long as you say I'm speculating. You're thinking, you're putting these ideas out
Yes.
there into the college of people trying to understand what's going on in our society. But what really gets me irritated is when people go on social media and say, "Don't you dare speculate." You know, you listen to CNN; they know, they're the experts. You know,
Right.
it's like CNN lied us into the Iraq War, killed a million people. All right. CNN has no credibility. CNN works for the drug companies. They are the last people we should be listening to. And the New York Times is no better. These are
Oh my God,
weaponized.
they're awful. Yeah, they're disgusting. So
So we're gonna.
look at the when
I'm
people
sorry. We I just want to finish one thing.
okay.
We might not always know the truth, but we're trying to tell the truth. They're not.
Right. Well, when people say, don't you know, speculate or don't put out any of these crazy conspiracy theories, do they know who they sound like? They sound like George Bush after 9/11 when he told us, I better not hear any crazy conspiracy theories.
Oh yeah. Well, that's a tell to me. That's when you know they're up to something. It's like, I don't want any crazy conspiracy theories. It's like, okay, what are you trying to hide? That's a
As
he
soon
so
as
shit.
he said that, as soon as he said that, I knew that there was something really, really fishy with
Look
the
at the
whole
clip. You
story.
gotta watch. I mean, I know you've seen that clip, but he like looks both ways after he says it. Like it's like in a cartoon. He looks so guilty. You gotta find that on YouTube. It's all over the place, but it's just a classic. And it's just, I mean, you
Well,
can't trust the word they say. And this is why we have to speculate, because they are discredited. They lied to us so many times that it would be irresponsible for us not to speculate, to just to take their word at face value. That's irresponsible. That's gullible. That's being a slave and a child, and just leaving your faith to people who have no interest in helping you.
Well, you had the article that you po the article that we referenced in the Off Guardian, I think, is based on solid facts, and there's some other sources that are based on solid facts. But this is why I decided one of the reasons I decided to take a break from social media is there's so many confusing and contradicting. Yeah, contradictory stats out there. You know, there's just so much that is just, and of course that's not by accident. They're not accidentally confusing us.
No, absolutely. And they put out, this is another thing they do, is they'll put out easily debunkable ideas to try to discredit a whole movement. That happened with 9/11. They'll say ridiculous things like, aliens did it, and then, oh, well, these people, the aliens shot down, took the towers down or something. That's a classic a straw man, red herring, whatever you want to call it. But there are definitely psyops where they're specifically designed to discredit alternative media by putting out ridiculous ideas, and they're just stupid people putting out stupid ideas. But that's okay, you know. It takes discernment. You can counter stupidity with something rational.
People in times like this, they don't want you to be rational. They also want you to freak out. They feel better about freaking out, I guess.
This is mass hysteria. This is mass panic. Yeah. This is, you know, I wrote in that little piece I wrote, COVID-19 means 1984. I mean, this is giving them everything they need to put a 1984 system of complete control into place, because this sets a new precedent where any health crisis, we shut everything down. We shut your business down. We shut your life down. We put you in a shelter in place, is basically put you in a prison.
Right.
You know, you're in prison for a crime you didn't commit. And this is the whole idea of a panopticon prison system on a global scale. They're the prison guards and we're the prisoners. And if we give into this fear, then we are truly prisoners and truly slaves.
Well, I think the only thing that that we can do at this point, because, you know, I'm not equipped to, have an armed rebellion against this, armed response, but is just to reject all of that and to, you know, try to get other people to reject what they're doing and try to do little covert acts of resistance. Or not covert, maybe small acts of resistance to these people. Because if they tell me that I have to stay in my house for 2 weeks, I'm going to go out for walks. And who knows what's going to happen? You know, am I going to get arrested? Are they going to take me to a relocation camp? Are they going to shoot me on sight? Are they going to think I'm a looter or whatever? But I'll be if I'm going to stay in, like, trapped in my house for 2 weeks or however long.
Yeah, I want to test their commitment to this whole lockdown too, because I'm not a slave. How committed are you? If they start shooting Americans for just walking down the street, I mean, I think there's going to be a mass revolt. And if there's not, then, man, we really are just done for. I mean,
well,
they
what
just,
we need to do is go out with our live streaming. I'm going, you know, put it on Facebook Live. I'm going on a walk. Come with me. To see what happens, and you be a witness to what's happening.
Oh man, it's wild. I mean, part of me just wants to get my family and go, like, you know, out to the middle of nowhere and just, you know, hunker down. But I just, this is actually bringing me back into the whole world, the fight for what's right and the fight for humanity, because we are in a fight. I mean, this is a death battle right now. We have to choose if we want to live as free people or live as slaves. And I'm not taking the shot. I'm sorry. I work at FIT. I teach at FIT, and I teach which is a SUNY state college owned by New York State. So I technically work for New York State. And I'm sure when the vaccine comes out, they're going to mandate you can't come to work without the vaccine.
Right.
Proving that you had it. So I determined what was in my body, not New York State. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you have the vaccine and you believe that that's going to protect you, you know, then what are you worried about me?
Right.
You're protected. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's your body. You do what you want with it. I'm not telling you what to do, but you do not. I have a sovereign ability to protect my own body, what goes into it. And I'll be damned if they're going to put it into me. I'm going to test that too. How far are you willing to go with this when you say mandatory vaccines? Are you going to put me in prison? Are you going to shoot me if I don't take it? Are you going to hold me down and forcibly inject a needle into my body? How far are you willing to go with this idea? Because I'm going to test you. I'm not taking a shot. You're going to fire me. You're going to ruin my life. You've already ruined my wife's business. You're going to ruin mine too.
Right.
I'm not going down without a fight. And there's more of us than them, you know. And I just see so much fear and so much. It's like a childish belief that these guys actually give a damn about you, that the media is a damn about you. They don't care. You're nothing but cannon fodder to them. You're nothing but a vehicle to get some more ratings and to get some more revenue. They don't give one about you. And if you think they do, then you're just a fool. And this is how I'm raising my son, because I want him to be smart, informed, and self-reliant person, and not a slave who watches the news and does whatever they do, you know, running out buying toilet paper like a lunatic.
That's first, crazy. It is crazy. I don't understand the toilet paper thing.
What? It's some sort of metaphor there. Like, I mean, some people are full. You can't eat toilet paper, okay, first of all. And second of all, if you don't have any food, you're not going to be taking any crafts because you're going to need toilet paper. You can't. I can see you getting food because you got to eat, but you can't. What, toilet paper is useless. It's just a mass insanity. Somebody started buying toilet paper, and everybody just latched onto this like lemmings. Like, we need toilet paper. It's like, this is the zombie apocalypse, except with toilet paper instead of, you know, they go around brains. They're just saying toilet paper. And I feel like we're in a movie. And that's another thing that's interesting. Like, this is, you know, all people are obsessed with all these dystopian zombie end of the world pandemic.
Yeah. Yep, I'm one of those. I'm one of those people. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I always was too. But now it becomes like an obsession. It's like almost becoming like we're manifesting this, and now it's a self-fulfilling cultural prophecy or something, because, you know, you become what you focus on as a person, and maybe as a culture, you become what you focus on. And I don't know. It's, to me, there's some sort of connection there where we, you know, we always love the thrill of going to the theater and seeing these end of the world dystopias, because you can get the thrill of this chaos without assuming any of the risk. Mm-hmm. But now we have the actual risk, and now it's not so much fun anymore. Or maybe it is to some people.
What's interesting is those films mostly started after the development of the atomic bomb, and after, you know, what it did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I think that kind of, I think these films might be kind of a way for people to, or in the beginning when they first started, the zombies, the, you know, the horror, Godzilla was from an atomic blast, you know, all these things, I think, were maybe a way for people to process that.
Because
now for the first time, the world could be completely destroyed within minutes.
Yeah. And there's a thought, and it's the same people who developed that capability who are running the world.
I know, like you said, we're supposed to believe they have our best interests at heart, which is just a bunch of crap. So, in one of the small rehearsals for something like this, Anthony, was, remember after the Boston Marathon bombing, when they rolled tanks through the city of Boston looking for two teenagers.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
And when I brought that up, people were like, oh, you don't live here, you don't know what it's like, blah 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 blah. I'm like, oh, I live in a town, you know, I know that there's danger all around, but you actually are accepting the fact that tanks are rolling through your streets and you have to hide out to find two people who probably were actually patsies for the FBI anyway.
Yeah. Two, like you say, two teenagers. We got the tanks. We got the military on standby. I mean, it's madness. And the idea that people just think this is a rational response. And sure, to me, it's the response of not only is it hysterical, but where are the people saying that this is insane? I mean, we're the only ones saying it. Everybody else is saying that this is, you know, we have to do this. Just like the Boston thing, they all make excuses for it, and it's like a Stockholm syndrome sort of mentality where you start to love your oppressor. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that's the best way to describe it psychologically. But it's also, I mean, we have to admit, I mean, as a society, we've become kind of soft and decadent as a whole. I mean, I don't want to just generalize, but I see it, and we all see it, and we're spoiled, and we're so fearful, so afraid of death, that we'll give up anything if somebody promises us they'll save us from that. And even if that's why they use this threat of this thing's going to kill you, because they know that we'll be like children going to their mommy's bed at night, you know, saying to save them from the nightmare. it's a childish response. Life is filled with threats, like you said. Life is dangerous. There's all kinds of things. And there's like thousands of things that are much, much more likely to kill you than this thing is that we engage in every day. And we don't shut down. We don't shut down society for it. We don't cause the end of the economic, you know, engine of the entire planet because we might be a little safer from one specific disease. It's mass insanity.
I'm probably a million times more likely to be hit by a car and killed by somebody who's texting and doesn't see me as I am to get coronavirus and die. There's like so probably having a piece of a satellite fall on your head and kill you, be struck by lightning, all of these things.
We're going to shut down civilization, you know, because it's just, I really feel like I'm living in an insane asylum. I mean, but we see that over and over again with the responses. Like you said, the response to 9/11 and invade these countries that had nothing to do with it and killed a million people in Iraq. It only makes sense if you're operating from a place of a childish fear where somebody saved me from the bad people that did this, and they just say, well, these are the bad people. Mm-hmm. That's all the proof they need. That's all they need. And then we send, 100,000 guys over there. And
this social isolation, by the way, social distancing and social isolation will prevent us from having organized massive response against this. You know, all of a sudden now we can't even go to gatherings. I think we can't even have last week it was 50 people or less. Now we can't even do that. So now we can't even gather together if we wanted to oppose this. It's going to all of a sudden spontaneous thing is like, people are going to hit the streets. And I'm wondering when they're going to shut down social media to prevent us from even organizing that way.
That's going to happen. But that's a direct violation of our constitutional rights, our right to protest.
Our freedom to assemble, right? That's in the First Amendment.
That's the word. We have a constitutional right. So if if it comes down to that, I mean, we can challenge this on constitutional grounds, and I guarantee a good constitutional lawyer could have a field day with this because there's no precedent for this. They really don't have the authority legally or on any logical basis to shut down our right to assembly based on this this phantom menace here.
But you know what, Anthony, all of the major organizations, anti-war organizations, are saying we have to, not assemble. We can't get together. Cancel all of your events.
Oh, it's so bizarre to me. Yeah. Some of these things it just makes me sad. I don't know. I can't think of a better word. I think, what are you doing? You're throwing away the baby with the bathwater. You're strangling the baby before you throw him out of the bathwater with the bathwater. It's just, it's totally irreconcilable with the facts, and it's going to do so much damage. I mean, we're talking about the end of Main Street, the end of mom and pops. They're done. Mm-hmm. The bigs are going to bail out. The casinos, the banks, the insurance companies, the airlines, they're all going to do fine. They're going to get massive bailouts. And the mom and pops, the people I know that own restaurants, they're already down 50%. They already can't pay their rent. They already, the people who work for them are terrified of what's going to happen next. And in a month of this, it's over. It's over. Half the mom and pops in this country will be bankrupt.
It is so sad.
Nobody's going to bail them out. Nobody's going to bail them out.
That's so sad.
They're done. Put their blood, sweat, and tears into these businesses, and they're going to be done.
What about all of the governors and mayors have declared states of emergency? Those kinds of things make the Constitution null and void in a state of emergency?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I think we have a constitutional plea no matter what. I don't think the state can override your constitutional right. I don't think they have that ability.
No, I don't either. But
I'm pretty sure they don't.
What's the Stafford Act that they're saying that Trump could could deploy. Do you know what it
Yeah, I'm
is
not.
before I look it
Yeah,
up? I'm
I
going to
don't know the
Google it right
details of
now.
that. I have heard that, but they got a bunch of tricks up their sleeve. But I mean, this is a power play. This is, we got uppity. The slaves got out of line, and they're whipping us back into our cages, basically. And we're going to let them because we fell for it, and we're not questioning things enough. We're just believing the so-called authorities and believing that they actually give a damn about the public health. This is also class warfare. This is like I say, going after the mom and pops, and the big guys are going to get richer. We're going to see billionaires turn into trillionaires because when they crash the market, they're going to buy it all up with
Oh,
pennies.
absolutely.
And like I say, they made money on the way down by shorting it, and they're going to make money on the way up. They're going to become. We're going to see a trillionaire class instead of a billionaire class, and we're going to see that the lower class is wiped out. We're going to see a massive influx into the homeless community. This is class warfare on an unprecedented scale. And they say this is a new normal. There's nothing new about this. This is called serfdom. It's been tried before. It was
Right.
the Middle Ages, okay? We're going back to the Middle Ages where there's kings and lords, and then it's us serfs.
Well, when you said it's going to make billionaires trillionaires, isn't that what the crisis of 08 did? It made millionaires billionaires?
Yep, now they're taking it up an opportunity.
What's
So
next?
I don't know what comes after trillions, but it's a lot.
God.
A trillion is a million million, right? It's like I say, we're at war, and it's class war, and it's about command and control over everything through vertical integration. All through the media really pisses them off that we're even having conversations like this. They want top-down narrative like they used to have, where you had, three channels and they told you what's going on and nobody questioned it. Or if they did, they had no platform to question it. They let the genie out of the bottle and they're trying to stuff it back in. They don't want us lowly serfs talking or speculating or thinking. They don't want thinking, especially. So stop
Oops.
thinking so much, buddy.
I looked up something, and you know how sometimes you open a site and it starts to a video comes on. But anyway, this is about the Stafford Act. I just want to say it since I brought it out. A recent viral post on Facebook claims that the president of the United States would enact a mandatory quarantine using a law called the Stafford Act. The president will evoke what is called the Stafford Act. The president will order a 2-week mandatory quarantine for the nation. So I don't know how this person that tweeted this knows that or whatever, but that's what the Stafford Act is, I guess.
Okay,
And
that gives it
he did declare
extra.
a national emergency under the 1988 Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act.
Well, they declared a state of emergency here in New York at the federal level. He declared New York City a state of emergency. And what that means is they're talking about turning stadiums into hospitals now. And what's going to happen is you're going to see an influx of people going into hospitals because they would normally you get the flu, what do? You stay home for a week and you're sick. Now, the people are so afraid of this thing that they're going to get out of their house and they're going to go wait online to get into a hospital, and they're going to overcrowd the system if they have a cold, if they have a cough, if they have a flu, whatever they have, or even if they have coronavirus. They're going to go en masse and they're going to overload the system of people who have real problems and not going to be able healthcare. That's the danger of this hysteria. We're going to see hysteria. Nobody, who the hell ever goes to the hospital if you have a flu? Do it. Do you have the flu? No.
No, I
You
don't.
okay?
My son, we never go to the emergency room or anything. We hardly ever go to the doctor. All of my children except me have really good health insurance, thank goodness. But so last week my son smashed his hand with a hammer. He had to go to the emergency room.
Oh,
And my
no.
granddaughter, she got a really bad tooth infection, so she had to go. So, just in that space of like 5 days, I had two of my family members go to the emergency room. And
Wow.
In the one case, they're fine. But the one case where my granddaughter went, she went here in Vacaville, and we're being told all of the people who came here from because Travis Air Force Base is right next to us, so they came here as healthcare, coronavirus refugees from China. That's where they were brought. And the cruise ships and stuff like that, that's where they were brought. And then so we're told there's like so many cases here, and my granddaughter went to the biggest hospital in town, and not one person has been there for coronavirus.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's just fully blown out of proportion. Well, Anthony, I have run out of time. So,
Okay.
is there something you want to add or anything before? I really appreciate your time and your insights on this.
Oh no, I really appreciate getting the opportunity to vent because this is, I mean, like I say, this thing's bringing me back into the world of fighting for what's right. And I've been working with this organization, Visual Voices. It's visual-voices.org, and they do a lot of great work with using art and giving children who are in war-torn areas around the world a platform to show their art as a means of catharsis. So I just wanted to promote them.
Oh, nice.
Thank you so much, Cindy, and thank
Thank
you for all you
you.
did. You're amazing.
Okay, take care, and I love you, and thanks for coming on the show.
Love you.
Stay
Peace.
well. Bye. That's the soapbox for this week. As always, I hope you were informed and inspired to check things out further. And please check Cindy Sheehan soapbox.blogspot.com for continuing information about the coronavirus, for my blog, A Sheltered Life, and just for updates. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar. I'd like to thank Anthony for coming back on the show, and I'd like to thank you for listening to and supporting Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Please stay well, be healthy, and I hope to see all of you soon. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to The Soapbox. Peace out for now.